I'm Jason.
And I'm Katrina.
And welcome to the Sipcast.
See what we did there?
Yeah, it's like a podcast, but related to itself.
And just like with relatives, sometimes things get a little inappropriate.
And racist.
Yeah, usually.
Not necessarily for children.
Or really adults.
Yeah, never mind. I'm going to bail.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
You know, that really is
Oh, you interrupted my jam. I was listening to my tunes.
I was listening to my tunes, Mom.
I was just about to hit my max set when you interrupted me.
My max set.
Yeah, I'm maxing out my carbs, and I loaded up some glucose into my core.
Hey, how is your band doing, Obama Not?
Oh, that's a good question. Very good question.
And not. That's how you say it?
We're not Obama, we're Obama Not.
That's
their official slogan.
Their official slogan. We're not Obama. That's just
We're not Obama, we're Obama Not. That's our slogan.
Is it really?
No.
It should be. That's great.
Who told you that?
No, that's great. Wait, you just. Okay.
Yeah, whatever. It's either fake news. Well, I'm doing fine. I'm actually just in a. I'm on Slack, which, by the way, fuck Slack for anybody who uses Slack.
I don't even know what that is.
Shit. Well, don't
I
learn.
It's something you get tailored to your legs.
No. Something that you give to a climber when he needs to, like, go higher. Something. That's something that that a maid uses to get a vacuum cleaner around a room.
Something that you cut when someone has done harsh things. You cut them.
It's like if Bob fucked up on the Jensen account again, it's something that you might give Bob instead of firing him.
Oh, Bob. Oh, man.
Oh, Bob. Oh, one more. If you drop one more ball, Bob.
Ball, Bob. We give you
Bob-baller.
So many chances.
Now Slack is an online messaging like team organization system that's just it's so effing weak.
It sounds terrible.
When I was working in Seattle, like building websites and shit, we used this thing called Basecamp was used, and that's when I started my regroup concept, trying to reimagine project and people management, and it still to this day is a problem that has apparently not been solved. It drives me crazy because I just need to get a couple of engineers together who are good at writing code, and we could make a product that's way better than what's on the market, because Slack is a giant pile of shit and they want to charge money to use it.
Is it just communicating?
It's just sending messages. It's like a little messaging program that allows you to store files, kind of, and create channels, but it's a mess. It's a useless, stupid, generic pile of shit.
See, files I don't know about, but we use an app for, like, my sports teams that I coach.
Oh, no, there's plenty of, I mean, there's all kind of, but what I'm talking about is my system regroup, codenamed regroup, is an expandable a people manager, not a project manager. It manages people and their time and also the projects they're working on, but mostly without people, a CMS, a content management system, or a PMS, a penis management system.
That's right. We need more of those for sure.
Yeah, definitely. We need to manage the cock of the walk right now, that penis face.
Well, and plenty others too.
But no, they're all basically what they do, what every single PMS or CMS or ZMS or BMX does.
DMX.
Yeah, DMX. I don't know what that guy sounds like.
Yeah, he's pretty
cool. I'm DMX, this is what I sound like.
That's okay.
Rap.
I'll allow it.
The Herd. Ha ha! BMX! DMX! This is DMX dropping the hot beats!
Beats!
Dropping the beats on the Herd! I'm a little hoarse. Nay, I'm a little hoarse.
Nay! You would be a tiny horse. If you were a real horse from a human, you'd be a tiny horse.
No, I think I'd be a big horse, ironically.
No,
I'd
you'd be
a gigantic horse.
You'd be a tiny horse with a big beard and a bad attitude.
No, I wouldn't be a tiny horse. I'd be a huge pony. So what's up, dude? I'm actually big for my size. So like what I am, I'm pretty big.
So, picture Jason Pony.
Yeah,
that's great.
Right.
I need you to draw him up. Jason Pony has got to be the graphic for this
no,
one.
No, no. Hashtag totally pwned. Hashtag P-O-N-E-D, pwned.
Hashtag new pwned. Pony up.
You've been pwned. I turned you into an anthropomorphic pony. Ponster. So, content management systems are bullshit. Slack is bullshit. My system,
codename regroup,
instead of doing one thing terribly and breaking when you want to do something else, it does what you want it to do. It starts.
How basically. Ingenious.
And instead of breaking, it expands. It's expandable. Like someone makes a tent, but if you want to use that tent to party in, you might break that tent. My tent would be a one-person tent
sense.
That when you start bringing beers and partiers in, the tent gets bigger. And it grows to accommodate the party
Alexa,
that you didn't foresee coming.
That makes sense.
Shut up, Alexa.
Alexa, no!
You shut your mouthless. You shut your lack of a mouth. I am horrified.
So what you're saying is it's kind of like Minecraft. Like it can expand if you need it to.
Basically, like bigger worlds. It shows you what you need when you need it, and when you ask for something else, it has that also. And that's the basis of
that
regroup.
That really is great.
In theory, it sounds great. It could be impossible to build, but I don't think it is.
Well, I don't know. I'm an ideas guy.
Well, no, I could.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I could walk people through the creation of it, but. It's only in theory, so, you know, there could be things I don't know about building such a thing, but I've been theorizing about it for years, and so far I've limited... The scope is expandable as well. It's not like a thing where you have to build it all at once, but...
I see.
You start building it, and as people... Like, you start building it with, like, you build an environment where people can expand to a certain extent, and then as you hear... feedback, and as you have more time to add on to the foundation, eventually
Absolutely.
The idea is that you will be generating a world as people are asking for the world to be generated, so that there's not really a big time. There's not a gap in between when a feature is required and when that feature is there. So
that's super.
It's basically like an expandable video game, but it's a content management, people management system. So,
Got it.
In summation, Slack is a giant pile of shit. When
Jason's
I tell people
like,
that from the outset, like when I told my bandmates, like, this is a pile of shit. They're like the Bob, who's the one who uses it at work, is like, no, you just didn't give it a chance. I'm like, no, man, I can tell it's a piece of shit already. And lo and behold, a year or so later of using it, I've confirmed it's a big pile of shit.
Now, do they see it now?
No, I don't think so.
Because Bob was some grumpy guy.
No, the other. Well, this is the curse of being sensitive to these things. You're
going
to sit
there
your whole life and scream, be like, things could be better. And everyone else is like, oh, I ain't got a problem. It seems good enough. It's like, no, you're suffering. You just don't know it. This is shit.
My goodness. Oh, my gosh. I just saw. Okay, so you know how you and I are nothing alike practically, but there's some things that we are similar on?
We both star on the Sibcast.
Exactly.
That's about it.
I just figured it out. Yeah.
This is all that ties us together. We might have some sort of blood relation also, but as far as I know, this is our main connection.
This is it. And I just realized. Well, no, that is so, oh my gosh. I had a moment. If we could, we need to have some sort of sound effect for a moment. Like for when either of us has like a realization, like a moment, you can add it later.
Yeah,
but
I will.
Literally. I feel like that's how I live. I live like, this is going to sound, I live in the future. But like, I can see stuff ahead, like steps ahead, 10 steps ahead, like time ahead. And then people look at me like I'm making trouble. And I'm like, I'm not trying. I'm literally from experience. It reminds me of the time. This happened when I was young. Like when I was 16 and our school trip went to Florida for the bike ride thing, for the intensive. Yeah. I remember telling them, and this is from experience, but also from being able to see forward, but we had just, remember we finally, oh, maybe we were 17. Remember we had finally gone on a Disney vacation. We took grandma, remember? And we went to Epcot and we went to the Disney and we went to Universal, all that stuff. And they were like, okay, well, we really want to go to Disneyland. And I was like, yes, Disney is fun and everybody wants to see it. But I promise you, it's just for like little kids and like all that stuff. Well, mom and dad were like, you have to use, we're going to give you this much, this is all the money you get. And so if you go on this trip, this is all you have. So I was like, I'm not going to go. You guys don't understand. It's not fun. Disney part is like an idea, but for like teenagers, it's not fun. We need to go to Universal. And they're like, no, blah, blah, blah. I was like, don't go to Epcot either. And they're like, I'm like, okay. I believed in what I was saying so much that I stayed on the bus. Well, all my friends and everyone, are you still there? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Everyone went to Disney. And they thought I was being such a grump, such a grouch. I got to read. I got to take a nap. I was so chill. It was nice because I got to relax because it was one of those bike riding intensives where we rode for the full 7 days we rode our bikes up and around Florida and the Keys. And they came back and they're like, oh my gosh, we should have listened to you and blah, blah. I'm like, I know. I wasn't telling you guys to try to be difficult. I was literally trying to save you trouble. Mm-hmm. Literally trying to save you trouble and time, which we don't ever get much of. I promise. Like, it's hard to know. And I get it. Like, from an outsider's perspective, if you look at it, it's like, how can one person know a lot about certain things?
To be fair, who the hell's going to listen to a 17? You happen to be right. Yeah,
some of them had never been. Some of them hadn't been in years. And I had just been. We had just gone. You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference was, I literally was just there. Guys, I'm trying to tell you from experience.
Guys, but like, seriously, guys.
Guys, if you could just listen for the freak of freak.
Just listen to me.
Oh, why is everybody listening to me? But the same thing will happen. Like, I'll try to tell people, like, okay, I see where this is going. I'm a few steps forward. If I could just put my information, like, it's kind of like when people, when they have babies, and I've had four, and I've gotten better each time. And I know so much about babies. I know so much about products, what to use, what to buy. I've tried, like, trial and error, tried the best and the worst and blah, blah, blah. And I have really great baby advice. And I'm like, when I tell people advice, they're like, well, like when my sister-in-law, when she had her first child, I was like, okay, listen here. I was like, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to nurse, you need to make sure, or nurse or not, you need to have a pacifier. And they're like, well, you know, the nurse warned against, you know, what was it? She's like, well, it's something like they can have nipple confusion. I'm like, babies ain't confused about the nipples. They ain't confused. When something doesn't come out, they scream at you and yell at you. They're not going to be malnourished and stop eating. If food isn't coming out of the pacifier, they don't want it anymore. They're literally like joke. They spit it out and they scream at you, right? So what happened was she didn't get her daughter used to a pacifier and she became a thumbsucker. And I was like, I tried to tell you. But, you know, she wanted to listen to the nurse. She was a first-time mom, so I even understood. But I'm like, I'm not telling you to be difficult. I'm trying to help you from the future.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe because I'm overbearing. I don't know.
The issue, I mean, that's true. Let's see here. Let me try to... that's like Gymnasium B... And then there's Gymnasium C, or maybe it's A. I don't want to imply that. Yeah. Maybe Gymnasium A is bigger. That might be B. I guess, yeah. Well, I don't know. One of them is, okay, that's Gym C, and then this is, what I'm going to say is Gymnasium B. So you're like the wrestling gym upstairs, but it's no more or less important than B. It's just upstairs, and it's for wrestling. Then you got Gym B downstairs. There's a Gym A that's like, it's the main one, but neither of us are talking about it right now. But the thing, maybe, I don't know, I gotta, let me finish my okay. Gymnasium B. You go in there, and that's a thing where, like you said, you've got experience, like what you were talking about with, I guess it was the same thing at the Disney Epcot, and then with child rearing, is you're coming from a place of actual hands-on practical experience, and that is a huge room that you play sports in this analogy, and that's true. That's something you build up. But the other thing that I think that when I think of it, or at least the way I tend to use, or Gymnasium B, is when you don't have, it is more the sixth sense version of that. It's kind of the ethereal culmination of those same sensibilities.
I know. It's like a scenario. Yeah. You can work through scenarios. Yep, I have that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a sixth sense, and when you explain it or you try to fathom it to people who don't have it, it's what is traditionally called that, because it's basically an empathetic or kind of an emotional.
Yeah, how do you describe it?
practical assimilation of cues from the outside world, and it has to do with timing. I think it has a lot to do with why people can keep a beat, because you have sort of, there's a spiritual, emotional beat to different energies and different scenarios. And if you have the sixth sense that I'm alluding to that actually plays in, you know, Jim C, we're just having experience and knowing how to judge that experience rightfully or truthfully. This is more a less factual version of that, but it's like on the fly. Is something wrong with this situation right now?
Yes, and it's like, it's people like you and me. It, but like, if you're right, that makes so much sense. If they don't have it, how would they understand it? And then how would they be able to trust you or take it seriously? It makes so much sense. It's why, like, when you say the first word that tipped me off was sensitivity. Like, you're obviously very different than me in this respect as well, as far as like media. But like, I'm very, very sensitive to what I hear, what I see, what is said around me. I can't watch the news, read the news. Like, I can immediately...
Salesmanship. Here, I'll put a point on it. It's what, or at least you and I feel, at least I feel, whether it comes in many different places, but when someone's trying to sell you something, you can feel it.
Yes!
Whether it's a news story or a product or a line of thinking or something. Like, both of us have, like, the instant our hairs raise up on ends once we feel a sales pitch coming toward
us. It's like a sixth sense of awareness. Yeah, like a seventh sense. Because sixth sense, I think, are like ghosts or something. But yeah.
It's like, mine's overpowered. I that's why I alienate people, because I think people are selling me, or I sense people selling me something. Wait, I mean, I guess we both do, but I use it much more immediately and I guess I'm much more sensitive to what I want people to have me think. So people come up to me and they'll start talking about their lives and they don't realize that they're selling their lives to me, and that's why I don't give a shit. Like, or they're selling some part of themselves. Like, as humans, we're pretty much programmed to latch on to each other and sell each other our emotional stories or whatever we need, our needs, wants, our thoughts. And most people's thoughts are, you know, rather unremarkable. So I've seen it before.
And and they can't be as cool as our own. Well, and then it's also like that.
No,
like,
why?
It's reaching into like genuineness. Like, I can sense someone who is genuine, or like,
I think it's genuinity.
It's kind of like how you and I love movies and acting. We can really appreciate a movie that like felt real. And you can't tell that they were super posing throughout the whole movie.
Yeah,
and
why I ruin movies for anybody else who goes and sees them with me. Like, that's why Dad stopped going to see movies with me, because he just got tired of me like being like, it was kind of lame.
Yeah, right? It's the same thing, though. What? Like, I can sense that in, like, people's social cues. Like, I'm super sensitive to people's social cues and, like, shifts in energy, shifts in, like... like, just little tiny things, like, where their eye or their tone changed. I'm like, oh... I read that. And it's like, well, maybe I've never stopped to think that maybe other people don't think or notice all that. And so then my sensitivity, when people are like, oh, I just have a feeling. It's like, no, I have a feeling based on a lot of cues and a lot of information right now. I'm not just saying I have a feeling about that person. I got something. I got real stuff, but I can't explain it. And I'm going to sound real weird if I try to tell you.
Yeah.
Makes total sense. Oh my gosh,
definitely.
We both have it. That's weird.
Whoa.
Maybe we are related. We should look into
it. I don't know. Should check out genealogy.com, see if we're black or something.
Yeah. We should send our DNA so that the people can bank it and then tell us about our heritage, and that distracts us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just banking my DNA. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
That'll suck. Hold on. Wait a second. I'm chugging tea. I have to go pee some tea.
Oh, no, this is the perfect. Can we both pause? We'll insert music, because my cat just pooped and didn't cover it up and it smells. So I got to light a candle and cover it up for him.
Okay, so there's going to be like silent music recording going on here.
No,
ambient
you're
background
gonna
noise.
You're going to insert like cool elevator music or.
Well, yeah,
like
no,
cool
I know. But for right now, we're just both of our
right
mics
now,
are going to
be terrible. Yeah.
All right,
okay.
Cool. Well,
okay, ready,
we'll see you back here in an indiscriminate amount of time.
Okay, break.
Break. We'll be right back. This last minute tweeting at Trump. As
oh
do.
My gosh.
I don't know.
You haven't been blocked
I consider it part of civic duty to let him know what I think of every single one of his stupid, ridiculous tweets. Like, here, we can make this a segment. What did I just say?
Here we go.
Here's Trump's tweet on this day, JC Trumpy tweets.
Or you can just say it the way I said it. It's fine.
You know what? I'm bucking the trend because.
There's no trend.
We haven't
started anything.
And I don't give a buck. Mm-hmm. So on June 5th,
2018.
Pussy grabber Trump, because that's more accurate of a title for him. He said, terrific new book out by wonderful Harris Faulkner, quote, Nine Rules of Engagement, end quote. Harris shares lessons from a military family. Enjoy. To which I tweeted, says the draft dodging family. Hashtag Cadet Bonesworth.
Oh, you really nailed it. Mm-hmm.
Military family.
They said between Trump and Giuliani, they together, collectively, they avoided the draft 10 times.
What, did Giuliani dodge too?
Yeah, total dodger.
I didn't. Oh my God!
He's
little
a
birds
Dodger
of a.
Fan. He's a Dodger fan.
Yeah, not an Eagles fan.
No, neither. Do you guys even understand sports?
Do they understand that everything they're saying is being recorded by cameras?
I don't know that they do know that. I think Trump thinks that Twitter is like a storage for his private files, maybe. But
it's amazing because it's amazing. The web of lies they've woven is so dense now that anything they say contradicts something they said previously. Like
every day, it can be recalled by anyone.
Yeah, like
and used.
It's like seriously. Yesterday, Giuliani just or like day, last couple days, Giuliani said, "Well, our recollection is shifting." It's like, what? Recollections don't shift. That's amazing. And then, you know, like
I have recollected these thoughts and shifted them.
they released a letter that proved that Trump lied about dictating that tweet or that memo about the meeting on Russia. And then Giuliani or someone tweeted something that proved that Trump actually did want to get rid of Sessions because he didn't want Sessions there because Sessions was preventing him via his recusal from stopping the probe. So, like, he just keeps incriminating TF out of himself, and it's
harsh.
Oh, my
gosh, TF.
Total farts.
He just keeps doing total farts. Well, I think it's quite interesting because, again, kind of like what people I've talked with before, they say, well, if they want Trump, give him Trump. And now you have him. And then it's so funny, you think that they'd be like, well, it's not exactly what I wanted. And some of the people that, like, supporters that are they're just silent. They don't say anything. But then you have the, like, the diehards who are just like, yeah, see? This is what a real man does. It's like, made a meme that said something that he said.
If you look closely at the diehards, and you have to use, like, a telescope or something because you don't want to get close to their BO bubble.
Yeah.
Their boo, their body odor bubble.
Their DO for their BO.
Yeah. You'll realize that they're not a desirable bunch. They're the ones who like to say to reporters, I don't have any facts, but I just believe it. What people have forgotten is that there's an opioid epidemic and that these people have and these people have access to the internet, the internet.
No. Oh no.
So a lot of these people who are supporting Trump there's a good chance that you're not talking to a person. You're talking to, like, Vexatrol or something. Some stupid shit that turns your brain into a butt, and then it just shits poop out of your mouth.
Ew. Is that a thing?
Vexatrol. Side effects include loss of friends and shitting your pants from your face.
Did you hear about... Okay, I was going to try to find it before I brought it up, but did you hear... oh, here it is. I'm gonna... Okay, the article, the quick little blurb about the valedictorian that did the graduation speech. Did you hear this? Mm.
Yeah, the one who did it on the megaphone? Yeah.
No, that's another one. Okay, so a Bell County High School student, valedictorian Ben Bowling, wanted to share some words of wisdom with his graduating class, but there was a twist that no one saw coming. And mind you, this high school is in Kentucky. It's a red state. Okay, it says, "This is the part of my speech where I share some inspirational quotes I found on Google," Bowling said in his speech. "Don't just get involved. Fight for your seat at the table. Better yet, fight for a seat at the head of the table. Donald J. Trump." The crowd burst into applause. "Just kidding," Bowling said. "That was Barack Obama." And then everybody went silent, and it was great. And then everybody laughed and laughed. They weren't pleased, and I like that.
Yeah, that's great. That's like when Borat pissed off that whole crowd of hicks at the rodeo in his movie. It's like, I love that's nice. I don't know because I'm not really the goal. It's upsetting because the goal of a lot of, for some reason, the Trump crowd, their Alamo of Alamo satisfaction is basically is pissing off the other guy. It's because it's gotten to the point where Trump is so dysfunctional and terrible that they've turned pissing people off about politics into a victory. Like, this is something I discovered about trolls, by the way. Well, bridge trolls and internet trolls. It's the same. They never, the thing about the whole troll myth that I'm not sure, maybe there was a story somewhere that actually proved this.
Maybe I missed this lullaby.
No, the trolls under the bridge. So, I mean, the mythical, the trolls of myth.
Yeah, I know,
They came from somewhere. What they never said about the bridge trolls is that you can just, like, what they should say about them, I don't know, if the metaphor is to hold true, you just ignore them and you walk over the bridge. Has anyone ever tried that?
I think they thought there might be certain danger.
But that's just it. The myth of the troll is that the troll has any power, and by stopping, the troll has power. The thing about the internet troll
giving
and the bridge
attention.
Troll
yeah.
is that it's just stopping. That's why when you stop and talk to the troll, there is no winning because they've already won. They just want to mess with you. And that's what Trump's entire fan base has become. They're not talking politics. The only thing they want to do, politically speaking, is stop you from moving forward and piss you off.
And
that's really their function.
And get you monologuing, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's the only way to fight them is just to do what we should have done from the beginning. But we didn't know we were dealing with trolls from the beginning. And now we got into this feedback loop of feeding the trolls, but really when one of those stupid people come up and they start talking shit or trying to get you to stop, if we just teach, like in high school, just walk past the trolls because that's what a troll is.
Yeah, don't feed the trolls. Kind of like don't feed the animals and stuff like that, like at like parks and stuff.
Yeah, don't feed the trolls.
Don't keep coming back if you feed them.
I fed the trolls at the zoo once and they got loose and ate all the penguins. It was really upsetting.
Well, yeah, because the penguins are like the nicest of the birds.
I mean, to be fair, I was feeding the trolls penguin meat, so maybe they got a taste for it. I'll take that part of the blame, but there were some penguins at the zoo. I just took a couple and I fed them to the trolls. How is that my fault?
Oh my gosh, guys, quit making such a mess about it. Oh.
Like, oh geez, let's have some penguin and just like party, okay? Stop being so harsh.
Party. Okay. Before I forget, I have a really... Okay, so this is just a funny, quick little blurb, a little peek inside our lives. So Everett sometimes doesn't enunciate when he speaks, right? And I understand that. Sometimes I have to say, you know, say that again with the marbles out of your mouth. You know,
no, but they're so good. I'm hungry.
So apparently he and Wyatt, we had eye doctor appointments last week, and he and Wyatt went walking around Target while Kitty and Rocco were getting theirs or whatever. And they've come back, and later apparently they were looking at the games. And it was, you know, little, like the board games and stuff like that. And they wanted to tell me about one. And it was just Everett. Wyatt wasn't in the room at the time. And Everett goes, "Mom, there's this new game. And it's about arguing. It's called Master Debaters."
Yeah.
And I go, "What?" Because he just said it like so quick and together. And then he blushed. And I was like, that's so funny. Because I was just like, you know what that sounds like, right? And he's like, I go, "You have to enunciate Master Debaters." Oh, that was just funny. So just a quick little lesson on enunciation. But then every time I say enunciation, I hear Mom going, "I can't understand what you're saying. You're talking so fast and you need to enunciate." And I'd be like, "Oh, I hate what her face does when she says that," because I was wrong and she was right and I didn't like that. So I just didn't like the face. She was like, "Enunciate." That's how I feel about that. I'm not going to enunciate. You can't make me do what I want to do.
Yo, what's real, doll?
Mm-hmm. So that was funny. And then another funny story. So,
why isn't there a white version of Ebonics? Why don't we Watronics? Crackernetics? Kernetics.
Kinetics.
Krakanics.
Krakanics, yeah.
Krakanics. I don't know, because I think that is definitely, if we want to talk about like having a dialect that's been pointed out, Ebonics is sort of a loose-lipped dialect, but man, there's a white version of that too. Like, I feel like it's unfair that we're all like, we have a word for Ebonics, but folks around here, shit, it's just as bad sometimes. It's just different. And
yeah, it's bad sometimes. It's just different. Exactly. It's a bunch of,
but I feel like it's unfair. It's like we have a Black History Month, which we shouldn't anyway, because I like, what was it, Morgan Freeman's take on that was, how about just human history? How's that sound? Humans
that does
having
sound
history?
Nice. That does
Don't
sound
know why
nice.
We have to parcel out Black people, but oh yeah, no, we're not supposed to like Morgan Freeman anymore because he has a libido and he hit on a couple women who didn't like it. God damn it, this Me Too movement is out of control. They're demonizing Morgan Freeman now.
I know. That was a like, tough one. That was a tough
like,
one.
I don't know. Maybe he's a powerful dude. Maybe he did make some advances on some women, but like this is going crazy to the point where it's like, are guys not allowed to hit on women anymore? It's like, it's how you get married, by hitting on women. It's like you
right.
find a woman you like
and
you
don't want to lump the people in who are just like trying to hit, you know, make a pass at someone versus someone who raped someone. Those are not the same people.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like.
But if he did do something, obviously, we do not condone that. That's wrong. But, yes, just like, you know, it cannot be like sexual harassment. If you're like, "You look beautiful tonight, you know, may I buy you dinner?" Oh! Yeah. What? Huh?
Yeah. No, there was that, what's her nose, like, was it Shania Twain or it was one of those country singer type ladies who made a huge stink a few months ago because she was going through airport security. And apparently the security guard, he literally said, I think it was something along the lines of this, "You look nice." He just said, like, "That's a nice dress. You look nice to her." And she started this whole thing like, "I didn't see him complimenting anybody else's appearance. How dare he?" It was like,
oh,
holy shit,
no,
lady.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Why did you dress in a nice dress if not to look nice and have people see that you look nice? Like, what the fuck are we even talking about anymore?
No, you look beautiful. Like, I'll tell that to guys or girls or just be like, "That is a lovely outfit." And well, even if you say, it's not like he's like, "Nice taut rear, woman."
Yeah, well, and the fact that she even said, like, she reverse engineered it and she said, "I didn't see him saying anybody else looked nice," as if she was like, she was like a huge backhanded compliment to herself.
To herself,
like, he only said that I was the only person who looked nice enough. How dare he? It's like, no, he was probably saying you look nice to all the women who he thought looked nice because he's just saying you look nice.
Just happened to be one of them. So that was the idea, right?
That's the Me Too movement, and that's why I feel for Morgan Freeman. Maybe he did do some creepy stuff.
If he did,
I doubt
then
it.
That's not okay. Yes, that's what. Yeah,
absolutely. I doubt it. Morgan Freeman seems like the kind of guy who's got a healthy libido, and he might have been a little bit, you know, a little bit too forward a time or two. But to bring that to the level of like a serial assaulter or something like that.
But to be fair, think about it though. Like, okay, we're assuming that all okay, for this Me Too movement, we're assuming that all boys are trained to know how to drop a pickup line or what to say or what not to say.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But our standards have been lowered to where you can pick up a girl by saying, what's your snap?
Yeah, right? and then also...
There's
and
no
then
lessons also, being had here.
Well, how about the fact that they're, speaking of lessons, there's no manual. There's nothing that says what is appropriate. And some women like to be, like things aggressive and rough. So there's women who like things, like they like aggressive
and
men.
How is
and then
anybody supposed to know? Now, again yeah, exactly. We're not lumping it in with you cannot grab someone, you cannot grow up someone. If you are inappropriate, it's like, fine, walk away. Do not be a part of that. And rape is not okay. We're not saying any of that. It's just saying that you got to have room for error, because not saying,
exactly.
Oh, he didn't know any better. It's saying, no one told him. And until someone says, hey, that's not appropriate, because like if you just walk away uncomfortably and don't tell him that's inappropriate, maybe they legit don't know. Do you
yeah,
know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, literally,
no,
turn
I totally
and go,
know.
That's not appropriate. Please don't talk
there could
to me
be,
like that.
There could be a guy, like a 25-year-old guy, who's his first time in an office environment, and he says, like, hey, you got a really nice ass or something. And then, like, that's offensive. He shouldn't say that. But
no.
He has to learn that one way or the other because there's no manual. No one taught him that.
Yeah,
you
don't you walk
can't...
away and say, like, oh my gosh, someone said this, and how, and then form an opinion. Literally tell him. And then if he continues to do it, yes, now it is his fault. Once you've been informed, you cannot claim that you were not informed. That's
there's
not
definitely a hyper aggressive overcorrection here from liberal types and a
you
lot of these
Me
Tooers. Who they're basically it's more of the demonization of masculinity. Like they like to call it toxic masculinity, but what they call toxic is just masculinity for the most part. It's guys being big sweaty animals, finding women hot and tackling each other. Like that's what dudes
right.
do. We're big
and
dumb sweaty animals.
Exactly. And it's not that like it's not that they can't operate with more finesse. Absolutely. I think this all, the whole
there
movement
is
does,
the gentleman.
I know. There is call for more finesse, but you can't just demand it of society. First of all, it cannot be like a switch on a dime. And you can't demand it of a society that doesn't have a generation teaching these young men to do that. So
yeah,
it's going to take time. It's going to take, like, you can't, but if you persecute them, then yeah, everyone's going to be really fearful about saying anything to anyone. We're going to have a whole thing where guys are just like, well, I was just afraid of harassment, so I just went gay.
You know what?
You know what I mean? Like, what are you
going
to do?
So, yeah, that's you might be right about that. I think that, ironically, or maybe not, since it's a bunch of it's a lot of minority groups, and now being a male or especially a white male is mm-hmm. a bit of a bunch of points against you. It's almost like I think naturally speaking, the way that antibodies work against pathogens, mm-hmm. it's like these minority groups have banded together and they're attempting to make the straight white men feel the way straight white men have made all of them collectively feel for the last 50 years, where a lot of the straight white men today are just straight white guys. We're not mm-hmm. our grandfathers or our forefathers. We're just sort of baseline kind of what testosterone is today, but we're dealing with decades of mm-hmm. repression by mm-hmm. the white men who came before us, I guess. So I think
right,
we're getting like
right.
the same way
right,
you'll overcorrect
right.
when you go off a road, you'll overcorrect and flip your car. They're about to flip their LGBTQ SUV.
There you go. SVU. Got it.
Special victims. Yeah. Unitard.
Unitard. Oh, really quick. The other day.
You're such a unitard.
Oh, you. I think we said that before. That's really funny.
Probably.
We circled back. So it was really funny. So my dear friend Sarah, she's a nurse. She works in the ER, does nursing professor, all this stuff. She's really smarty pants. Anyway, she doesn't watch like a ton of basketball. Like she likes sports, but she, you know, not a ton of it.
I like sports.
I like sports. Well, anyway, it was like, I think it was game 7 before the finals. So the Golden State Warriors were trying to win. They're obviously in the finals now. So this was like last week or so. And she walks into the house and we're watching one of the big games. And it was, I forget who Golden State played before, but you know how they say, you know, they'll use like, what is it when you use the abbreviation? So like an abbreviation for Golden State Warriors is GSW. And whatever other team. And she walks in, she goes, who are the gunshot wounds? Because that's the code that they use in the ER for a gunshot wound is GSW. And so I was like, that's hilarious.
That's a pretty sweet name.
Right? So the like the Golden State Warriors are actually the gunshot wounds, right?
That's pretty, that's a badass mascot name.
That's pretty badass,
right? We're the gunshot wounds.
I know. So it's just hilarious that like when you see someone else's perspective, you know, on a new situation. Now every time I see GSW, I can't see Golden State Warriors. I only see gunshot wounds.
Nice.
So that's a little funny. That's a little funny.
That's a little bit of something funny for you.
Yeah. Okay, so I have to get
levity.
I have to get this story out because this was so funny. Okay, so in our
house. It better be so funny.
It's really funny. I just have to the story immortalized on Sidcast. Okay. So our kids aren't allowed to curse. We're not allowed to use, you know, swear words, things like that. I know. And I don't do it around them either. But sometimes, like, now that Wyatt and Everett are older, if it's, like,
don't worry.
Comedy, I'll use it. But out of anger, we don't curse. And
if you don't swear, I'll swear for 10.
That's exactly right. That's like when we go to restaurants, and I'm like, no
fuck
gluten.
Fuck shit. Damn it, balls, cock.
I'm like, no croutons, no gluten. Anthony's like, I'll take her gluten. And I'm just like,
I'll take her fucking gluten.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, so hard. So, anyway. We went to the pool last week. The pool opened on Memorial Day. And let me make sure they can't hear me because I'm like, it was so hard not to laugh in the situation. So Ross goes over. He wants to go on the diving board. And obviously there's older kids and he's practicing his like front flips and all this stuff. So he wants to really perfect it because he's done it on the trampoline. He's done it on the mini tramp in our tumble class, but he wants to get his front tuck. So he's on the diving board. He hit his back a couple times and he's really working hard. And so finally, a couple times, he gets it. He's almost starts to over-rotate, but he lands it. And I still tell him he needs to tuck tighter. He's got kind of like an open tuck form, but he's going high enough to open. So anyway, later we're talking about it. We're talking about the pool, and I was like, oh, that's so great. And I was like, yeah, I saw the one kid, you know, cut you that one time, the older kids. He goes, yeah. And we're sitting in the kitchen. Kitty and Roscoe are at the island, and I'm cooking dinner. And I just wanted to make sure to bring it up. Like, you know, even if they're older than you, you can say, hey, this is my turn. Like, you need to wait in line. You're allowed to say that to someone else. And so I'm talking to him about it. And he's like, yeah, the kid kept cutting me. And he goes, yeah, and the older kids, he kept saying, hey, you're a fucking bitch. Get out of here. Roscoe just said it. It just, oh, hold on. You can't hear me because I'm getting a phone call. Are you there? There you go. Did you hear what I said?
What's the last? No, start over.
No! Which part did you miss?
You can't.
What?
The big kids said, you can't.
Are you serious? You missed the tagline. This will be funny when we go back and listen to
your
it.
Your phone's dumb.
The kid literally
you need
goes,
to throw it into the other room.
I guess. But the kid, Roscoe is recounting out loud what the kid said. And he goes, hey, you know, you can't cut, whatever. I was like, you can tell him that. And the kid goes, to one of his friends. He's like, why don't you go do a flip? You're a little fucking bitch. Roscoe says it out loud. Kinsley freezes, like, what is mom going to do? And I go, and I'm turned away cooking, and I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I turned around, because this is in Roscoe's tiny voice. He said, you're a fucking bitch. And I'm just like,
nice.
And I go, okay, well.
Damn it, your phone is stupid.
Like I know. I was like, I know. And I was like, not everyone is allowed to talk like that. And some people make bad choices, you know. And then we talk through it, and then Kinsley is like waiting the whole time, like what's going to be done or said. And then she just starts drawing and talking again. Because it was like, that was so out of nowhere. He just dropped it. It was amazing. I was like, and then I told Anthony later, he starts rolling. And he goes, did he really say that? I was like, babe, ask Kinsley. I was like, but don't ask Kinsley.
Because you asked Kinsley, what did Roscoe say? Yeah. Or whatever it's, was
the,
Roscoe?
I know, yeah, it was Roscoe. Because the
what did Roscoe say earlier?
I know, the funniest part is, up until that moment, the kids will always say, like, oh, so-and-so said the S word at school today. I'm like, well, what is it? And they're like, well, like, I can't say. And I'm like, no, it's okay if you're telling us which word. They're like, so-and-so said stupid.
He called me a Facebook.
Right, literally. They're like, stupid. Like, that was the most, and they were so embarrassed to even say like, stupid or dumb or weird. Like, and then he just blurts it. I'm like, oh.
I think I did that around the same age.
That's great.
Around dad, because I was reading. I remember that the day I did that to dad. We were at Noble Romans, and I think he just bought me an Adam Sandler CD,
yeah,
comedy CD. And the it either came with or in the CD artwork was a fold out paper game board, so you could play this like stupid game that came with it, like a board game. And the instructions, I forget what it was, but I was reading it as the goat, because the goat was, I guess it was like from the goat. So I was like, here are the rules for the game, and this is how you play.
And then
I don't remember the rest of it. It ended with, and just play the fucking game. And I read that out loud, and Dad was like, oh, and like you were there too, and you were both like, what? So it was a very similar situation. I was probably, I think I was a couple years older than Roscoe,
yeah,
but
be
I
a little older if Dad would buy you Adam Sandler, yeah.
I remember that moment when I said, and play the fucking game, and everyone was like, what?
That's so great.
Yep. So
I was pretty sure.
I remember that time in my own life. It's I'm sure he's yeah. Oh man, bitch.
It's just one of those things, because we weren't raised with, obviously Dad and Mom didn't curse either. They didn't swear. Only one time did I ever hear Dad say, you know, shit when he bonked his head. He was in the attic and he didn't know I was behind him.
There's a new superhero. Sorry. I interrupted. Bitch
Man. Is that your superhero? Oh.
it's Bitch Man. He just shows up and he's like, oh, I don't know. You guys think I could really help? I'll just stand off to the side. I don't know what I could do. It's Bitch Man. This looks like you guys have it covered. I'm going to go back home and take a nap.
I'm glad I came just to be sure, but I'm going to go.
So the bitch symbol is a question mark cast on the clouds on the side. It's like, fire up the bitch symbol. And it's just a question mark. And he looks at me. He's like, I don't know. Do they really want me to come?
Well, next time I'll think twice, but I may still come. I'm not sure.
I don't know if I'm up to it, guys. You guys have a lot more belief in me than I do. than I do. It's like, call Bitch Man. Are you serious? What? Yes, he's our only hope. Like, really, though? Fire up the bitch
really
signal.
Our only hope, though?
Okay. Hey, guys, I saw the bitch signal. I was in the area. Was it on accident? Do you really need me? Oh, shit. Okay.
Well,
I'll go check it out.
And I have mismatched socks.
Okay, I have to go mix some shakes, some protein shakes for the week. I'll hang out. I had a busy schedule tonight of petting my cats.
And I had to sort my shoes.
I had to get all my shoes in order. I have three pairs.
That's great. I like him. He sounds relatable. I mean, not reliable, but relatable.
Bitch Man, to the bed. It's not to the rescue. It's to the bed. He's going to bed. He's going to say, I'm going to take a nap.
He gets tired from all the confusion.
All this excitement's got me really sleepy.
He's undecided a lot.
I'm just going to go hang out and watch some TV, probably fall asleep or something.
I'll show up to a fight, but I won't do much.
Yeah, I might root you on, but really, I'm just going to be afraid of like a random stray punch connecting, so I'll probably just stand back and watch, or I'm just going to go home.
I'm a lot of talk.
I'm afraid of words.
That's great. Oh, another thing
Bitch
to
man.
Note. He sounds great. We may have accidentally adopted two poodles.
What the fuck?
Exactly. Well, okay.
Exactly two poodles or like 2.2?
No, exactly two.
We got a little extra poodle over here. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's poodling up over here.
I got a poodle a dog over here. Yeah.
Ugh.
I just stepped in a poodle.
Okay, so like, I guess this weekend it'll be a month, but Anthony took Roscoe to his game and took Everett with him. And after the game, he was trying to avoid the Mini Cooper dealership because he really wants a Mini Cooper, because I have one, and then we could have matching Minis, and then it could be just adorable. Anyway.
And then if you get two more, you can connect them together and make a Mega Mini.
I know, and I told him, I was like, we're going to have too many Minis. Anyway.
Too many miniature.
Too many Minis. Anyway. So he's like, okay. He's like, you'd be so proud of me. I didn't stop. And I accidentally drove by it like four times, which he did, you know, was the directions he was following it. And he's like, we're right there. But they did stop and check out some animales for adoption. And they were like, oh, there's a German Shepherd and a Great Dane. And I'm like, you guys better not. No way. Right. And then I'm telling Kinsey and Roscoe, Or no, yeah, because Wyatt was asleep. Or no, he's at a friend's house. Oh, Wyatt was at a friend's house. Yeah, Wyatt wasn't even home. And I was like, oh, Dad's being funny.
Great
like,
parenting.
Okay. I know, it was great. And he goes, well, okay, we're headed home with the Great Dane out of the sunroof with the Mini Cooper. And I'm like, ha, 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 very funny. And I tell Kitty and Rocco, they're like, we can't even have a new dog. I was like, I know, Dad won't ever allow that. We're not having a new dog. And I was like, we could have a new dog if Dad wanted to. And they're like, really? And I'm like, but Dad doesn't want another one. He's allergic, blah, blah, blah. Well, rewind the story a little bit. Before we got Gracie, we actually got a poodle puppy. But she turned out, her name was Rosie. We only had her for a week. She turned out she had a bad heart condition and it would require surgery and a lot of medication. So we're like, the breeder's like, oh, we're so sorry. We'll take her back.
We just sent her to the glue factory.
I know. And then we ended up, yeah, we took her back. It was really sad. But, and we ended up with Gracie, a hairy dog that's not hypoallergenic. How that worked out, I'm not really sure. It's probably all my fault. Anyway, so I'm like, we're not going to get another.
It was because of you.
It was because of me. So anyway, Anthony comes home. He's recounting the story. He's wearing, they went to Long John Silver's. He's wearing his Long John Silver's hat and he's being adorable and hilarious.
You guys still have a Long John Silver's?
Yes.
You're so lucky. We don't.
Yeah, it's so good. We used to argue over the crumblies. Anyway, so they're talking about dogs and Everett walks in. He's like, look, there are also dogs at the Lawrence Humane Society. Look, it was like Randy or something. And we're like, oh, it was like a black lab. He's like, he's so sad. We should go see him. I'm like, no, we're not going to. And Anthony's like, well, let's go look at him. I'm like, what? We're not going to go look. We can't go to car dealerships or dog where there are dogs for sale because we can't be trusted. So we go.
That's the same reason I'm not allowed in the red light districts.
It's exactly, you cannot be trusted
anymore. They got my picture. They did have my picture up everywhere, but now everyone's just got my face memorized.
They just know. Not that guy.
They just, so, like, get that guy. I don't give a shit how big a mustache or hat he's wearing. Get him out of here. I recognize that gait.
I know.
I know that saunter. That son of a bitch. Get him out of here.
Get him out.
Wait, no. I'm that guy from There Will Be Blood. Get out.
You're that guy.
I can't make my voice. I'm a pre. Hold on. I can't do that. Like, yeah. I can't do what he does. He's got improper technique. He strangles his throat off in such a way that I can't mimic it.
Maybe
it's improper
you can do it
form.
If you like actually like partially strangled yourself.
Yeah. I need to find Jesus and then he'll teach me.
He'll teach me.
You know, like, Jesus is like hella vocal. He'll be like, yeah,
so
check
metal.
Out this technique I picked up in Peru.
Mm-hmm. From those Pharisees. Well, so we go, we meet two poodles.
Sorry, go ahead.
We meet them, and we thought they had one, not one, but two poodles. No, it turns out they're bonded pair. They're together. And we're like,
oh, they're
oh my
conjoined?
Gosh, they're so...
That's messed up.
That's so cool.
It's not a poodle, it's a toodle.
It's a toodle. No, there
toodle.
Are two of them separately, but they are bonded, meaning they came in together, they have to stay together.
So they are like separate dogs.
Yeah, they are separate dogs.
We are talking about two separate dogs, I understand now.
We're not talking about one dog, two heads.
Not
one
conjoined
head,
dog.
Wouldn't that be
conjoined
funny
by the face.
If it was like one head and two butts, like totally unexpected.
Two dogs, one butt.
What if they have to poop at separate times? That is weird. Anyway.
There is a traffic collision.
Collision. So we meet them. We meet some other dogs. We go out in the playpen. We see them. And then we see these poodles run. And we see them play. And we fall instantly in love. We should never have gone. And we ended up leaving, adopting them. I was like, oh my gosh. I'm looking at Aunt like, you got to say no. You're supposed to be reasonable. You're the one who's supposed to say no. Say no. Right? We couldn't do it. So they have the floofs on their head. They have the floofs on their tails. They're adorable, hilarious. They actually like hop. Oh, they're so funny. Anyway, they chest bump. So we can't decide. We don't know because, okay, apparently the lady who owned them before, she had three poodles. And she had to give these two to the Humane Society because she lost her job and could only keep one. So I don't know if they're brothers, twins, or gay, right? I don't know. And so we haven't, they act like they're, like, they're pretty masculine, and they do, so, but you can have masculine gaze, too. But they chest bump when they run. They, like, run after each other and then chest bump. It's hysterical. And they have these happy little faces and these floppy ears, and they're just hysterical. Anyway, their names were Ricky and Andy. And I said, I'm going to change one of those. And so now we have Ricky and Bobby from Talladega Nights.
Oh, that's good. I was going to suggest Huff and Puff or Buff and Puff.
Huff and Puff. Hoof and Poof. Yeah, I know.
Hoof and Poof.
So I only wanted to change one name, and Ricky still kind of sounds like Bobby. It still ends the same way. And I think he's finally gotten used to his name.
Ricky Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah. Ricky Bobby. So shake
Ricky
and bake.
Ricky Bobby.
I know, Ricky Bobby. So they're hilarious. They have integrated.
Now you should name your doves Shake and Bake, and then Ricky Bobby and Shake and Bake.
Oh, that's gonna be awesome for the next pair. So now we have three cats, three dogs, three rats, and two doves. It's not too many. Don't
and
count.
A partridge and a pear tree. Did you know that there's like 23 birds in that song? Just like birds alone. Or like there's like 28 birds or something.
That's
I counted up the birds in that song. Let me see here. It's it was like one of the only non-Trump related tweets of mine in the last month.
And of course your tweets are about birds. How ironic.
Yeah. Dude, what the fuck? You gave me like 30 birds for Christmas. I have cats, you know. 8 birds were eaten. Come get these birds.
Come get
signed birds. True Lovey. I like 8 birds were eaten. 8
that is
birds
my
were eaten.
Part of that as well, yes.
Like it's a little subtle, just a line of the song. 8 birds were eaten.
8 birds were eaten.
So we counted it up. It's 28. I used like 30 for conversational use, but no, there's 28 birds that motherfucker gave this lady. Like
my favorite is that you took the time to do that, to figure that.
Yeah, well, I was wondering. I thought it was just like 3, but then from 7 down is all birds. It's birds all the way down.
Who even has time for that or the care?
Like, where did you get the birds? And then, like, why would you just give someone birds? That's a very specific pet.
And then, that's like a... have you seen Infinity War yet?
No.
Oh, it's so good. There's one part in there where they're talking about Gamora and Drax, and they're asking all these questions, and they're like, you know, where is Gamora? How is Gamora? Blah, blah, blah. And then Drax is like, I've got one. Why is Gamora? It's like, what? That movie is great. You seriously haven't seen it?
No.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I have. Because I'm an adult without children.
Whatever.
And I have.
Whatever.
I have tall thing. I'm usually, like, I'm too tall to enter.
Typically.
They don't have that. That would be cool if there was that sign. Like, where's that one? Like, too tall. It must be this tall to ride. Must be this short to ride also. There's a window. You can't just be some 7-foot motherfucker getting up on this ride. Mm-mm. You too tall.
Yeah, you will get decapitated.
You will totally get decapitated. Or you'll lose that nice hat.
Decapitated. Well, you need to go see it.
Decapitados.
It's really good. It's really, really good. The music is amazing. Wyatt got to go with a friend for his friend's birthday, and then we went because he wanted to see us see it. So Anthony, I, and Wyatt Neverett went while Grandma Sherry was in town. Kim was at a sleepover.
Did he do a new thing that I think you just helped me invent, which is you get the reaction, you watch the reaction of your friends watching a movie, you just bring like a fold-out chair and face it toward your friends.
And you just
literally the whole time watch a live reaction video of them watching a movie.
Exactly. He loves it. And then you want to see them. I do the same thing. I'm like, I want to see other people enjoy this.
And then you take a selfie video of you reacting to them reacting to the movie. So you see the movie behind you playing with you reacting to people watching, reacting to it. This is a new way to enjoy entertainment, I think. This is like the next natural extension of watching people play video games.
Yeah. I agree.
Online.
Because it is. You want to see how and why and whatever of all this. Cat, stop. You're messing with my doors.
It's like, now I know how that guy feels about his family watching a movie. Okay.
Right?
I got it.
And then he found out that one of his good friends hadn't seen it yet, so they went again. So he's seen it 3 times. And it's the music, it's the story, it's the ending. It's just like, what? It's very good. Very, very good. Yeah. I'm so glad that I had boys and they got me into superhero movies a long time ago, because I may not have watched them, and now I would have been sad because they're everything. They're really good. Those movies.
Yeah.
And he even found, I think it was on Pandora or Apple Music or something, he can just play, he just plays the soundtracks from all these movies, like for his own life, and then he's his own superhero.
Careful what you wish for. I mean, I liked and like Guardians of the Galaxy, but then this, like, I put, along with some of the later James Bond movies is where Black Panther landed for me, which is, it certainly looks like well-executed, well-coordinated film, but at a certain point, there's just too much going on. Like, I get lost in those movies when there's just a lot. There's a lot of moving parts, and eventually there's so many moving parts moving so voraciously that I'm like, how could any of these parts ever work together? Like, it's just, it's too big and frenetic.
Too big. I was obsessed with Black Panther. It was literally, it gave me life. It gave me the issues that they addressed and the ownership of like stereotypes and the way they, like, there was a lot of really subtle addressing of things that they did it so beautifully and eloquently and with strength and power.
They opened a fissure up between Africans and African Americans. Now African Americans are appropriating African culture via that movie. Did you hear about that?
Wakanda forever. What?
Like, African Americans are appropriating African culture in that movie.
No, I hear what you said, but I don't know how you mean.
Well, that it's blaxploitation taken to the next level if you look at it. Because basically, there's African culture and then there's black culture in America. And they're not, there's a lot of black people in America who try to go get their African roots and reconnect with their African roots. But a lot of...
I've done the same. I'm South African, are you.
You had that journey. There was a lot of headdresses and tribal dancing in our past.
It was a beautiful journey. I was rejected many a time.
It was quite so. They said, please stop. Please stop.
Your skin color is so white.
You and Rachel Dolezal need to chill out. And I say that in the whitest way possible.
That's the difference. How dare everyone else I think is being racist. How can I not be African? I am. By blood.
Well, technically we're all African. So that sort of speaks to my point, which is black people in America taking old African symbology and culture to reinforce the movie here and the character Black Panther is as much cultural appropriation as a white person doing that. That's sort of what they're saying is that
the black people going back and owning their origination more so. I mean, they look like each other than me.
I'm not arguing for one side or the other. I'm just seeing as much validity in this argument as liberals and other people have. They'll throw a lot of vitriol toward and Rachel Dolezal. She's a grifter. But there are other characters who they'll give a whole bunch of flack for appropriation of culture. But as long as it's a black person appropriating black culture, it's fine. But that's a double standard. And it's something worth examining. I don't necessarily agree that it's wholly inappropriate, but just because someone's black doesn't mean they can sell black culture necessarily that.
Oh,
that you have to make sure that we're not in danger of doing that. And I think that is a valuable thing. I heard people talking about it. I hadn't thought of it, but I see what they're saying. Like, you can sell out your own culture. It's possible. So is that what they've done? I don't know. But it's another part of the dialogue that I thought was interesting about that movie.
I do like different perspectives. That's for sure. I like being open to different perspectives. It doesn't mean that I necessarily adopt the new ones, but I do what settles well with my soul.
I'm not bringing that up because I agree with it, but it was just it's as valuable a part. Like, that's the whole point, is these bandwagons. If you want to, like,
wagons for your bands?
Avatar,
you need to get one for your
we're
bands.
Starting to get around in a wagon now. Avatar did it too. Avatar did it too. Avatar appropriated a lot of Indian and Native American culture. They rebranded it, but Avatar had its own thing that it was saying, but it made a lot of assumptions about a lot of different cultures and kind of tried to hide them behind, blue people or earthlings or whatnot. But Avatar was another one of those that was kind of like, it was a fanciful sci-fi movie, but it was based in reality, and a lot of the real terms on which it was made were a little bit not quite PC.
But don't you think too, though, that like it's bringing more attention to like the culture or issues, and not necessarily. It's not appropriation. Sometimes it's just bringing attention to that they wouldn't have had it otherwise.
Well, that's basically the point I am making, is that there's attention to it. Like, I'm not fawning over this movie like it was a great movie was a movie or one way or the other. It's a well put together movie, I believe. It like I said, is a bit too much for me, but that's the part that it is changing as people are now talking about, like, when it gets to that level, can, like, what is racism? Can, like, can black people be racist toward black people? And of course they can, but that's a question we haven't been asking ourselves, because as of now, a lot of people on the liberal left don't think that black people can be racist, period. The way they look at racism, yeah. it's only from white people to black people. And that is definitely something we need to talk about, because that's retarded.
That's unitard.
That's uni-retarded.
Unitarded.
That's unifyingly retarded. It's unitarded.
Exactly. There you go.
That's I am
one.
A unitard.
We found it. Don't worry, folks. We found it.
It was over here, guys. Stop looking. I found it.
The
it's covered
time.
In mud.
We are Ew. Great. Oh, you know the Guardians of the Galaxy where he's like, I am Groot.
Yeah.
I redid that in my mind.
Did
where I did say Vin I am great. I
oh,
am
nice.
Great.
Did Vin Diesel do the voice of Little Groot, or did they just get some other person to do it?
I think they just didn't. They just auto tune it or something. I don't know.
But what would be the point of that? Like, you could spend all this money to get Vin Diesel to do the voice, or you could just get some guy go, "I'm Groot," and then you when you auto tune it, it sounds like Little Groot.
Oh,
I was is Vin yeah. Diesel in the second Guardians movie? I need to know. I'm gonna look it up now. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Number 2.
Number 2.
Yeah, Vin Diesel. They just got Vin Diesel to do it, and then they auto-tuned his voice. That seems silly to me. Like, how much money...
How much
extra money did they have to pay just to make sure that Vin Diesel
know.
Didn't get pissed?
I would assume he doesn't get that much extra, and it's just keeping it real. They can make so much money that I think they can handle it.
Vin Diesel's salary, Guardians 2.
This point has to be made. Yep, I get it.
Let's see. No, because it's... It's only because they're going to make another movie after this, so they didn't want to piss off Vin Diesel. Like, they can't just cut him out,
sure.
So they had to loop him into this one.
Oh, it's
because
a pity
they wanted,
yeah,
they wanted
sure.
to stay cool. Yeah, exactly. It was a pity non-layoff.
Oh, I think it's just to keep your crew together. It's happy.
That's what we just both said. It was a pity thing. Yeah, that's what that means in that that context.
I mean, also viewers,
which is they did it to not piss him off. That's the point that I'm making.
Vin Diesel.
Yeah, you wouldn't like him when he's mad.
You won't like me when I'm angry.
He doesn't turn into the Hulk. He just turns into a pissed off Vin Diesel, and that guy's got lots of muscle.
It's kind
of
like a Hulk.
He's not like Mark Ruffalo. Mark Ruffalo has to get muscles, but Vin Diesel has muscles. He doesn't have to get pissed off.
Wait till you see some of the funny stuff with Hulk in Infinity War. Oh, it's so good. So
is it still Ruffalo? Is he still the Hulk,
yes.
Or is it Christian Bale now?
No.
Christian Bale is the Hulk. Where are the hostages? I'm the Hulk now.
I need
my Batmobile.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the Hulkmobile.
Jason
it's
Statham
just a,
is Iron Man.
Jason Statham. No, the Hulkmobile is ironically a mini that Hulk shoves himself into like a clown car.
Yeah, and then he has to bust out of it. That'd be great.
It just explodes off of him like a t-shirt.
He like becomes Hulk inside of the Mini Cooper.
Yep, and he's like, I gotta get another Mini Cooper. He just picks a Mini Cooper out of like a 12-pack on his waistband.
That's
and then
right.
he gets back in it when he turns back into Bannon.
Like kind of like cracks off a beard.
Banner.
Yeah.
Just crack open a Mini. Mm.
That's
gotta,
great.
Gotta love that fresh Mini taste.
And boy do I. Hey, I don't want to go, but it's an hour and I gotta pee so bad.
Yeah, the two fans are finished blowing each other for over an hour. This is not very productive.
Oh, goodness me. All right, let's pinch this off, kid.
Yeah, let's do that with the countdown.
Okay, here we go.
Two, one.